Thank you, Chris. Thanks, Joey. Yeah, let's thank the guys on the worship team today. I'm so blessed by that whole team and so good to be here together today. Well, if you are new or visiting here in person or online, my name is Tim and I serve as the senior pastor here alongside an amazing team and fellowship of people. And today, practicing the way is something that we come back to just intermittently because do you know that followers of Jesus originally weren't even yet known as Christians, but often called followers of the way. And practicing the way of Jesus is what should happen when we come to know the person of Jesus. But sometimes there can be a gap in that. So I want to come back to that and speak today. And I'm pumped. I feel like God's given me a word for today, for this moment, for this generation. And I am going to be speaking at times to a particular generation of those who are about 27, 28 and younger, but I'm not only speaking to them. So you want to come on this journey with me? Is that all right? Yeah. So don't switch off. If you hear me speaking to like 20-year-olds, I'm talking to you as well. Each of us has a role to play in this. But I don't want to bypass what God did and what you did at Easter. So I'm so thankful for the heart around engaging in services, in inviting people to come and hear the good news of Jesus, and in turn, serving each other. Scripture says, like, first do good to the body of believers. We are called to be here, not forsaking gathering together, doing good for each other, but that also should cause us to go out, right? And so we go out and we invite, and I'm so glad to say we had salvations. We had like full services, even two services back to back on the Easter Sunday, and then people out in community out there. We had baptisms at the end of Easter Sunday, and you know, all glory to God in that, because how amazing is it to be just one part in the chain of someone's journey towards Jesus? We had a lady who I've never met, who's connected with some people that I used to know in youth ministry a long time ago. God was working in her, comes in, hears more about Jesus, gets baptized. If we ever lose our passion around that, we're beginning to lose everything. Because heaven rejoices. And today I am going to be talking around passion in a different way. And don't switch off, because I know some of you are hurt, tired, and burnt. But I'm not talking around a passion that you have to generate. So come with me, yeah? But I just want to say thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for your investment. Thank you for the giving of your financial resource. We cannot do what we do. There isn't fruit without you doing that. Any service is always preceded by sacrifice. And we do that in light of the greatest act of love and sacrifice in history. That is the death and resurrection of Jesus. And if it's not about Jesus, then we're just another country club. We might as well be at the beach, which sometimes, you know, lately, the surf's been really good every time we have a service. This is like the longest time. And I'm, you know, frankly, I feel like my focus has shifted again a little bit, and I don't mind. Lord, don't take me at my word on that. Please let there be surf on another day. It's good. Hey, we have baptisms after the service today, and I'm so blessed by that. But I want to say it very clearly. We talked about this over these last few weeks. If you look out and see some things that are broken in the world, and you can acknowledge that actually some of that brokenness is also in me, that is sin. That is everything wrong with the world. That God sent Jesus into the world to die and rise again, that you might be forgiven of that and be part of bringing a change into the world, which is the kingdom of God. And so if you see that and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came into the world, lived a perfect life, he died, he rose again, and he did that, that you might be forgiven, and you want to follow his way, you are ready to be baptized. And so we have towels. I have a spare shirt. I'll give you one of them. Like, let's do it. Don't wait. Baptism You don't have to go through a year-long course to be ready to be baptized. It is the start of your journey with Jesus being made new, and you learn more and more, and there are some things you need to know and things you need to believe. But if you agree with what I said, you are ready. Don't wait. Amen? Awesome. All right, are you ready? Practicing the way. Everyone said the way. Good job. I am going to talk about a vibe shift. You're like, this guy has lost his mind. Vibe. That word only exists in the castle. The castle, however you want to say it. And if you know that movie, then I don't think I'm speaking to you today because you're too old. No, I'm joking. I know it. I'm with you. Don't worry. I'm putting myself in this. Sean Monahan, who's a New York trend forecaster, coming out of the pandemic, talked about a vibe shift. And he coined this term. And I'm going to ask, what happened is that millennials, who are my generation, went into the pandemic, kind of in his words, ruling the roost. We defined culture, right? And we came out and we weren't. Let me give you an example. Everyone say, hi, Noah. Noah's going to come and help me. Hey, how you doing, buddy? I tried to wear some of my most millennial stuff today, and Noah rocks up wearing that, and I'm just like, buddy, can you please come stand next to me? Because, and I love it, but I would have worn that kind of stuff in year eight. And that was in 1998. It's actually easy. I follow the years. That was really easy. So, like, I had jeans like that. And, like, how come, like, dad shoes are now cool? And, like, all this branding. Like, I got rid of all my surf-branded stuff because, like, fashion changed. And then it got even more extreme. And, like, maybe you could take your jumper off for us. Steady on. All right. Take it easy, ladies. And how much, like, branding and, like, slogans are back. And actually, this is really cool, and I'm going to come back to this later. Just turn around for us. Like, how cool... That is very cool. So, everyone give Noah a round of applause and say thank you. Remember that picture. I'm going to come back. And you know what else happened is, mullets were back. And, like, baggy jeans. And I saw this really funny thing. It's like, people come to Australia expecting, like, bronzed Aussies. And what they get is, like, mulleted, ochre, like... And, like, the Aussie accent on certain people got, like, thicker. So you just, like, cruising in Melbourne and you see, like, this group of, like, mulleted young men, like, and then it's just, like, real, like, yeah, mate, like, got super ochre. And I was just going, what is happening? This is so interesting. And I want to say that part of me wants to try the mullet, but I also just fully want to say to you that I do not have the self-confidence or courage to try that. And so I look at some of these haircuts and I'm like, they're amazing. And you might be thinking, if you just went short here, like, you're there. And I agree with you, but I'm not doing it. All right. Yeah, I mean, like, apparently now, like, skinny jeans are like a no-no. And so I'm here for it, right? You can judge me however you want. But yeah, I am starting to go a little bit straighter with my jeans. Let's just one step at a time, all right? Took me... As my wife would say, yeah, relaxed. It takes me so long to agree with one kind of thing. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And then, like, the correction takes a long time as well. I'm not here today to talk about fashion. I'm here to talk about passion, right? But I am here to talk about a vibe shift. There's a saying, light yourself on fire with passion and people will come for miles around to watch you burn. I remember giving a message on this a while ago saying, but if you try to keep yourself alight in your own strength, all that will happen is you will burn out. And there is a strength, there is something, there is a power that actually God offers us in which that won't happen. Just before I move past this, I want to just talk about how passion links with purpose. How does passion link with purpose? How are we to understand the things that we were passionate about before we met Jesus and how God might want to use them for good. Because I think some people have been told, whatever you're involved in before Jesus, you have to get rid of all of that. Let me say this. When you come to know Jesus, your passion changes to be Jesus, right? Everything wrong in the world is when we have loves out of order. If you love your spouse more than Jesus, it's not going to go well for long. If you love your kids more than Jesus, obviously, if you love money more than Jesus, if you love money and material possessions more than people, how quickly does it go pear-shaped? So your passions change. And for some people, that means the thing that they were so passionate about, like there are people who maybe, I don't know, like think of Steph Curry. God could have said to him, right, you follow Jesus. I want you to stop playing basketball and follow Jesus. And I think he would have said yes. But God, what he did was redeemed Steph's passion for basketball. And so he glorifies God through that. But it's not one size fits all. For some people, it's stop doing that and do this. And their focus is Jesus and only Jesus. Like we probably all maybe know someone who all of a sudden went, I am going to be a missionary and I'm called there. And you're like, you are crazy. But this is what passions God can shift in us. But then other things, like you might have come to faith and been a teacher, and God has made you passionate about teaching from a Christian worldview because of your love for Jesus. I know there's people in this room who are just like that. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This verse is inviting us to a deeply intimate relationship. But you can understand how some people read this and think, well, the desires of my heart are a mansion or $1 million or the girl, guy of my dreams, right? That's not what that means. It actually means that as your passion and purpose is focused on Jesus, the desires of your heart get shifted to align with God's purposes. And when your desires align with his purposes, God is going to bring it about and give them to you. But it's not just, this is what I want in my heart, so I'm going to get it. Or I can say, this is going to happen, and so I'm going to get it. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit transforms our desires to align with God's desires, will, and plans. And so our passion becomes his purpose. But you might well be doing the same thing that you're doing. I was thinking about this, like I used to play a lot of music and I don't think of myself as a musician, but then I'm like, I play a lot of music still. But I was playing in a metal band as a drummer, and people are like, what? And I love those guys. They were like brothers to me, but it was very clear that God was saying, your time playing in that band is over. And I was playing in another band that used to play in pubs and stuff, and I'm happy to walk into a pub and be there and talk to people, but standing up and playing in a band for me and my conviction, God was saying, I don't want you to do that anymore. But he wasn't saying, don't ever play drums or play guitar or sing again. But it was aligned with his plan and purposes. And that doesn't mean it only outworks in a church building, right? But this is what starts to happen. The word delight, which we see in Psalm 27, is a profound sense of joy, satisfaction, contentment, and passion. But I want to talk about something more powerful, more sustaining, and more biblical than passion, and that is zeal. Anyone heard that word, zeal? And so my title today is Vibe Shift to Zeal. You come with me? Is that all right? And I want to give Mark Sayers, pastor of Red Church, amazing author and leader, the credit for that title because it's not mine, but I was like, I'm using it. I'm here for this vibe shift, even if it makes me feel insecure about my clothing choices. No. But Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says this. We focus on this at Christmas, but it's true every day. And we need to look at it more often. So let's have a read. Isaiah 9 says this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Have you heard that before? Yeah? And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it. David is King David. The child is Jesus. Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that day on and forever. The zeal, everyone say zeal. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This was written by Isaiah, who's a major prophet. Major and minor prophets are not better or worse than each other. It's just how much they wrote. And this is written about 600 or 700 years before Jesus. And I have always just felt something move in me when I get to the end of that and I read, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And we just went through Easter. He has accomplished this, is accomplishing this, and will accomplish this. Whatever you look at in the world that's concerning you, whatever you look at in the Bible where you go, that sounds scary, and I'm going to talk about Revelation today, which scares a lot of people. Look to Jesus first and foremost, always. This is what God is doing. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. All right, so what's zeal? Come on, we got to figure out what it is. Zeal, and again, this is a Mark Sayers thought, passion, intent, and determined action for a significant period. In God's case, it's for all time back and today and for all time forward. Let me say it a different way. I don't even know if I made... So we'll read that again. Passion, intent, and determined action for a significant period. Who knows? We overestimate what we can do in a day and underestimate what can be done in a year or 10 years. And if we consistently live like that, you will burn out. Because your urgency is kind of out of control. God hasn't called us just to busyness. He's called us to intent and passion and determined action on the foundation of truth that doesn't change and hope that doesn't change either. Let me say it a different way that's easier to remember. It's long-haul passion. Long-haul passion. Did I write that down? I think it was 5A or something, Hannah. Thank you. Next one? No? There we go. Long-haul passion. All right, let me stop. I don't know if for you, zeal has actually become a bad word. Let me acknowledge some tensions. In the Bible, zeal is a good word. Zealot is not. If we, like we read about Simon the Zealot, we read about Paul who was zealous as a Pharisee in actually killing Christians. And then he becomes one. And we refer to him all the time. How challenging is that? Don't write off zeal because of the actions of some zealots. Paul says, watch out for this. It's almost like if you're... Well, let me say it this way. If you never encounter God or have awe, wonder, and understanding of his goodness, you'll probably get quite legalistic or controlling, and that is what a zealot is. You're imposing force. And so I wrote this, the kingdom of God is not imposed by the force of Christians, right? The kingdom of God is ushered in through Jesus, and we are co-laborers by faith, not by force. You can't exert force. Does that mean we're passive? No. Are you feeling like my passion is passive this morning? Oh, you didn't answer enough. All right, I'm bringing it. Here we go. Psalm 69:9. Let's go to the next one. It says this. In Psalm 69:9, I will tell you why in a second. Says this, for zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. Insults. What's an insult? The context of John chapter 2 is Jesus walks into the temple. And what does he do? He just passively gets on board with what's happening. No, nice Jesus is taking a break. He comes in as zealous Jesus, not zealot, and he's flipping over tables and he's going, how dare you turn the house of Lord into a marketplace like this? And his disciples stand there viewing this and they remember that Psalm says, his disciples remember that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. Zeal, long haul passion. How's your passion for the house of God? How's your boldness in the house of God? We had a prayer time this morning, and I want to challenge you. If you can't be bold around other Christians, you're never going to be bold anywhere else, right? We're not callous, we're not uncaring, but we're bold and we're passionate, right? And so what is Jesus doing? Well, everything in the Bible is a precursor to a more powerful and a better thing to come. If King David is a view or a picture of Jesus to come, like David is an amazing king, but he makes lots of mistakes. He's called a man after God's own heart. He's a precursor to Jesus who would come from his line. But anything about David is perfected in Jesus, right? So if Jesus walks in to the church, the temple, throws over the tables, what's he doing? He's cleaning and clearing house. He's decluttering for the presence of God. And it's a precursor to him going to the cross, the greatest act of love and sacrifice in history, which will declutter and cleanse us who believe in this, for us to become a temple of God, a temple of the Holy Spirit. I hope that you can start to get this, because if you do, you will be more alive in your walk with Jesus than you have been, I promise you. Romans 12:11 says this, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And Romans 12, if you know it, maybe it comes to mind. It's the passage that starts, don't conform to what the world is doing or what other worldly people, or should I say it, half-worldly Christians are doing. Do this. But you don't have to do it in your own strength. This is the thing. Are we actually going to surrender and say to God, I am going to let you take the wheel? Because I'm tired, I'm burnt out, I'm hurt, I've got scars. Whatever it is, God understands, Jesus understands. That's why he came into the world. It's part of the outcome of that. He understands what we've walked through. And we're told, don't be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Revelation 3. Oh, people hear Revelation and they're like, I'm quivering in my boots. Don't go to Revelation. No. Says this. This is Revelation 3. I think it's like the third or the fourth letter in there to a church. And this is the church of Laodicea. And that church, they come pretty hard against that church. And this is not me saying that this is you. I grab this passage because it's important. But if it is you, listen. It's saying stop being lukewarm. Stop being half in, half out. And it says this, those whom I love. Isn't this a good picture? It's like a good father. I'm a father. I reprove and discipline my children. But it always starts with a foundation of love. And if you get it out of whack, and I'm not perfect, I make mistakes, I have to apologize to my kids. I ask them to forgive me. But this is what God has done in Jesus. We are loved. It says this, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Be zealous, have long-haul passion that comes from God, and repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I haven't been walking your way. I turn back to your way. And then there's this beautiful promise for God. Anyone who is passionately hungry for God, he will meet. I don't know what you've been going through. Maybe you feel like God is distant. Maybe you feel like your hope's dried up. Maybe you feel tired. Maybe you feel burnt out, whatever it is. That doesn't, your experience of that and the circumstance you're in doesn't change what God has said to you. That's the invitation. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him. And it's not only men, and eat with him and he with me. Amazing. I wonder today in your long haul passion, are you hungry for the presence of God, for the fruits of the Spirit in your life, and for the gifts the Holy Spirit gives? Every time we baptize someone, we say, come Holy Spirit, and thank you that you have gifted them to be a part of your kingdom plan, because that is every single follower of Jesus. Everybody is in the game in different ways. We can be unified, going the same direction, but not uniform, right? Because we don't just need only eyes, right? We need fingers and we need feet. Even if some people think feet are gross, right? We need them. All right, so let me talk about some tensions, because I don't know how you're hearing this, but I know different people hear different things in different ways. After the pandemic, the millennials, my generation, woke up, and it's ironic to me that God has put this message on my heart just before I turned 40, right? The millennials woke up and realized, we're not young anymore. And I love you, older generation. Don't feel bad when I say that. You're older than me. And I've woken up and I'm like, I'm not, like, what's young? I know, like, you know, 30s become the new 20 and 40s become the new 30 and 70s become the new 42 and like all those kind of things. But, you know, I'm not young anymore. And there's a wonderful thing in that. And many people woke up tired. There's a stupid saying that's like, one day you turn 30, you wake up and you're tired for the rest of your life. I'm like, no, I'm not giving into that. I'm tired because I've got three amazing little boys who... Please hear me. Don't recoil from zeal because you're tired, you're burnt out, you're hurt. Zeal is a characteristic of God and from God. It's not just be more passionate. I'm forcing you to be more excited about this. And it's not hype. It's supernatural and it will not burn you out. You delight in him, you surrender to him, you receive it from him. We can trust that God is good, invite him to fill us afresh to overflowing every day with his Holy Spirit, which brings a supernatural, long-haul passion with it, and you can pour out knowing he's faithful to refill. Open your heart and your mind and your ears. I've been talking about generations. Unfortunately, this is what we do in generations. We tend to look up and critique all the previous generation's mistakes, and we look down in utter confusion. Why are you wearing that? No one knows I love him, and he loves me, and so I'm like, I'm not hammering him. I'm not having a go at you, but like, I don't understand the mullets. I'm so confused. I'm confused by TikTok. I'm confused by certain trends. I'm confused by certain words. Like, I feel old really quickly. What are you taught? What language are you speaking? Looking down in confusion. Let me show you just a little snapshot. And Gen X, who were above me, and then boomers who were above you, and then silent generation above that, the reason you're not on there is not because you're not included, okay? I'm speaking, this is one of those moments where I'm like, I'm speaking to this generation. I just want to be clear. So Gen Y, often referred to as millennials, kind of 1980, I was born in 84, so here we go. Gen Z, we're talking like 95 to 2009, so it's kind of that 27, 28 down. And then we have Generation Alpha, this is from McCrindle, 2010 to 2024. How amazing is it? Generation Alpha, some of them are going to be like, you know, 12, 13, 14. That's unbelievable. They've got growing influence and set to be the largest generation the world has ever seen. And here's the thing that we pray about and believe, and we believe this of every generation, but quite often kids can be relegated to like kids' church or youth, so they've got youth church. The 80-year-old sitting in here is the church of today and the church of tomorrow. But the 5-year-old sitting in church or down in kids' church is also the church of today and the church of tomorrow. And so we've got to look at what is God doing in that generation, not just like look down at them in confusion or look up at generations above us in just critique and criticism, but actually go, wow, how has God worked in each generation? And how do we collaborate together to see God's kingdom purpose continue to move forward? Let me talk about empowering the next generation. We have incredible examples of this. In 2 Kings, we see Elijah to Elisha passing on the mantle of responsibility, of anointing. It's much more than like, here's a job, go do it. I'll talk about the structure of support in a moment. We see Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, I think it's 6. He says, fan into flame the gift you received when I laid hands upon you. If you're like, what are you talking about? Laying on hands? Who knows that if you're encouraging someone and it's okay, like to put a hand on their shoulder and say, I believe in you. I'm here for you. That's an encouraging, amazing thing to do. But we also believe that if you're laying hands on someone, you're praying for them, there's like an imparting of the power and spirit of God in that, an anointing, a mantle. And so the next generation, we need to have a structure of support. We need to believe in them and empower them, even if sometimes we don't fully understand what is happening. And I really want to honor, Pastor Prudy has been on leave this week. Prudy bleeds unity and empowering the next generation. And there's an amazing team of youth leaders and children's leaders, and a lot of you are here, and I am so thankful for you. There is a passion in that generation that is going to change the world. And when we talk about generations, you know, I don't mean that the whole generation is going to have zeal. It will be a portion of it. But we have to make sure that we don't miss it. And it's time to name it. Is that all right? Yeah. What we see in them, what we're seeing happen in the combined youth ministries of our town, in many ways, it's not hype. It's not momentary. The style of it might look very different than you're comfortable with. Does that mean it's not from God? No. That's often a generational difference. It's the same message. It's the same God. And we can acknowledge that there's a need for maturity. God can give us supernatural wisdom and maturity, but a 15-year-old, I didn't know at 15 what I know at 40. or on the eve of 40, right? But don't write people off if they're not where you are. So let me speak to my generation and the older generation. You might have zeal. It's not isolated to a generation. You might have had zeal. You might have learnt some things, seen some things, got beat up, have some scars, walk with a limp. Whatever it is, don't let bitterness or cynicism come in. Don't crush the passion and long-haul passion and zeal of the next generation, and don't make them work too hard for it, right? We can try to impose like our structures upon them, and there needs to be some. But don't crush it. Share your maturity and lessons with them. That's your gift. And younger generation, listen to me. Your gift is your passion. You are going to inspire. You are going to encourage. You are going to remind us. And we can talk about this reality. Well, people are just more passionate when they're young. There's a difference between just human passion and godly zeal. Let's open our eyes to it. Let's see it. I don't have too much more today. Mark Sayers talks about this idea that you've got to have formation with encounter. Who knows that theoretically, I believe if someone read the Bible cover to cover because it's the life-giving word of God, it would transform them. But theoretically, you could just read it academically and come out of it going, well, now I know a lot of stuff about the Bible, but I don't actually know. I don't know Jesus. I don't know the reality. Let's go to the next slide. If we're only doing formation, then often we end up quite legalistic, we end up quite controlling, and we end up kind of self-focused. Look at how much I've grown. And so you need formation with experience. But you can't have one without the other, because if you only seek experience, you'll be wishy-washy, tossed to and fro from the experience or lack of experience or the emotion or lack of emotion, and you have no foundation of truth with which to stand on. So if you want to have a godly passion, you need to be being discipled. You need to pray. You need to study the Bible. You need to have mentors or a mentor in your life. And out of that, you should be serving, because we don't grow when we're not serving. But as you're doing that, and this is what we hope, not just as a Sunday service, but we come together and we go, how much do we experience God's presence? And we're reminded of His power. And we're reminded of His love. And we're reminded of His goodness. And we're reminded that whatever we face, God is bigger and mightier and more powerful. That's His majesty. And if we're coming in tired and burnt and hurting, then we receive comfort through the presence of God's Holy Spirit, but also the presence of other Christians who stand alongside us and say, you are not in this alone. This is practicing the way. I think we need to be aware, often our personalities will drive us more towards one or the other, but both need to coexist. A pastor that Mark refers to, and I know who he is, and someone who I trust a prophetic gift in his life, has talked about Gen Z or Gen Z being remembered as Generation Zeal. And I want to see that. And we should want to see that. If we lose our passion when someone is saved, we're beginning to lose our awe of the life, death, resurrection, and love of Jesus. And if we become self-focused in like just knowing more about God, well, that's not practicing the way either. And I want to declare this prophetically today, that I do believe this generation and generations to come will change the world. And we, every generation gets to be a part of that. But let's encourage them. Let's release them. Let's support them. Let's share with them. Let's invest in them. And let's see them as the church today, not just the church of tomorrow. So Gen Z, if you're... I will speak to you if you're 25, 26, 27, all the way down to you can understand what I'm saying. Protect your zeal. Ask God to give you a supernatural passion that is His character and something He can impart to you and wants to. And then protect it. And seek others who will help you protect it. Can you go to the next slide? Thanks, Hannah. If this is resonating with you, I wonder if you would read along with me some of these statements. I don't mind if you see me as radical. God calls it obedience. I'm not playing church, and my passion will not be infected with passivity. I will not lose my wonder of Jesus. Jesus is not a phase, He is my life. And I won't apologize if my zeal makes you uncomfortable. This is not a casual thing. Can we read it again? God is stirring something. And I do believe, and I want to see that prophetic speaking something out that is not fully here yet, but believing that it could be in God's power. But all of us get to have a part in this. I don't mind if you see me as radical. God calls it obedience. I'm not playing church, and my passion will not be infected with passivity. I will not lose my wonder of Jesus. Jesus is not a phase, He is my life. And I won't apologize if my zeal makes you uncomfortable. This is not a passive thing. Can I invite the worship team to come up? Let me say it this way. Thanks, Hannah. The biblical view of long-haul passion in the term zeal. Zeal is the standard, not a suggestion. Yes, it's an invitation. But it's the standard that we can live from, not in our own strength, but in actually surrendering to God at work in our hearts and in our lives. Zeal views circumstances through faith, not the other way around. You have to start with the foundation. God loves you enough to give His Son. God walks with you in every circumstance and trial. But if you start seeing God through your circumstance, you are diminishing what He did for you in Jesus. And there's huge challenge in that, and we have to be compassionate walking with people in that. But it doesn't mean we lower what zeal is. And lastly, zeal builds, not minding if it is credited. Right? Summarized in the clear statement, I must decrease so that Jesus can increase. Who cares if my name goes on? Jesus is my life. I'm not saying that as a preacher, but hopefully as a follower of Jesus. What I mean by that is hopefully what you see is a follower of Jesus, not just a preacher. Would you stand with me? Is that all right? Hey, I wonder. I'm not going to ask just one generation. If you want to see your zeal, your long haul passion for God and His kingdom purposes increase, just put your hand up. And then particularly, if there are young people standing around you, we're going to pray for them. I'm going to pray, but I just want you to pray alongside me to see this prophetically be true. It is already true in so many, and we see this, but I just pray for God to work mightily through this generation. Here's the encouragement. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish His purposes, not yours. It's His strength, it's His power, it's His passion. You don't have to do it in those things of yourself. But the beauty of this is as you delight in Him, His purposes, will, plans, desires, loves become yours, and you are a part of it with the King of all creation. What is better than doing that? And you're invited into that. Keep your hand up. I know I was getting tired. I'm sorry. Be bold in the house of the Lord. Let's do it. Father, we speak out in faith and prophesy, Lord, that Gen Z will be known as Generation Zeal. Lord, that there would be a long haul, committed, intentional, directed passion and action from them as you work through them. And Lord, for the rest of us, stir passion in us. May you impart a supernatural passion and zeal today that is not a momentary flash. It's not hype. It's not manufactured. It's an outcome of the Spirit of God encounter with Him, standing on the foundation of truth that you have given us in the person of Jesus, your word and your presence. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, that you reign above all. And thank you, Lord, that even today we are seeing two young people stand up, being bold in the house and saying, I'm going to follow Jesus in the waters of baptism, and that you, Lord, would give them the long haul passion and zeal you want to see for your purposes, not ours, and your kingdom, not ours, to grow and advance. And everybody said, amen. Let's sing. Hallelujah, our God reigns.